Hey everyone, this is Josh from Solopreneur Grind, and I am here with Dana Jackson, confidence and business coach. Dana, really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to talk with you guys. It is just an amazing opportunity, and I can't wait.
Awesome. Likewise. So Dana, can you tell us a little bit more, confidence and business? Those are two pretty, I think, related categories. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you got started?
Okay, so being a mindset coach and a business strategist, it was like the absolute last thing I thought I'd ever do. Because when I was back home in Jamaica, to be honest, I was in insurance. And after going through a horrible divorce and, you know, it's just draining and I completely lost myself, I hitchhiked across the world to Japan and that's where it all started. And
wow.
When I know it's pretty like, wow. So I moved halfway across the world to kind of escape my past. And while I was here, I started as a teacher. And for about 2 years, teaching was okay. I mean, I wasn't happy, but it was an okay occupation. But one day after teaching for a very long time, I just broke down. And I was like, Dana, what are you doing? Is this really what you want to do with your life? Is this really where you saw yourself? And to be honest, it wasn't. I realized that I had just been living in the day-to-day. I didn't have any goals, any dreams, any plans for my life. And when I really thought about it, I realized that so many other women go through the same thing. They've had a horrible past. They've failed a couple times. They've had their ups and many downs. And they've just kind of confined themselves to this life of mediocrity. And I made this promise to myself that I would pick myself up and go after my dreams. And then I would help other women do the same thing. And funny enough, at first I invested in this really well-known coaching program. They're like, yes, we can grow your business. And it's $5,000. And that was literally half of what I had in my bank account. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to go for this. And it turned out to be a complete and total scam. I don't want to say it took what scam. And I was out $5,000 and I was no more clear on my goals than when I started. And it took a lot of digging and trying to piece together all these different things from all over the internet for me to finally realize what I needed to do in my business, because I don't want other women to have to piece together all these different things from this place, that place, and that place. And after figuring out my process, I decided that I would really work on my confidence, work on my voice, work on, you know, all these different things, because people don't understand that your confidence really does affect everything in your business. It affects the way you speak, it affects the way you act, your decision making, the deals you make and you don't make, the goals you set and don't accomplish or do accomplish. It affects everything. So I decided to work on that with my clients. And once they have that, they can do anything else.
Right. I mean, I would argue that confidence affects everything in life, right? Not just business, but relationships, friendships, dating, everything like that. It's so important. That's an amazing story. I feel like we could do a whole podcast in itself just on that story of how you got to starting your business. But because the podcast is so business focused, I definitely want to go into some of the confidence and business stuff and how you actually got it off the ground. But to kind of cover that, this initial part of the story, can you talk just briefly about what it was like backpacking basically halfway across the world? Like, is this something that you recommend people should do, or something like it for people maybe like you, they weren't happy where they were, whether it be a really bad marriage or just really unhappy with their job or whatever it be?
I always believe that, you know, sometimes you need a fresh start and a fresh environment to really find who you are, especially after a traumatic relationship. And it might not be as dramatic as going halfway across the world from Jamaica to Japan, but right. I do think that sometimes you do need to like get up and go. And people around you might be like, you are crazy. We don't know why you're doing this. But for your growth and for yourself to heal, you don't need to be around the cause of what's making you feel sad and depressed and alone. And for me, I really couldn't handle being around everybody who just reminded me of the situation. I needed to go somewhere where nobody knew me and nobody could judge me based on my past. And I would recommend anybody, even if it's for like a week or two, to just, if you've been through a situation where you feel like you just can't anymore, I would suggest you just leaving for a while. Just take a vacation, take a breather. If you want to move like I did, do it. It really does help you to start over fresh because you don't have that judgment coming with you. And when you don't have that judgment, it makes it so much easier to start over.
Yeah, I'm sure it gives you that fresh perspective like you wouldn't have staying in the same environment. That makes a lot of sense. So you travel halfway across the world and you settle in Japan and you're teaching and you have this realization. How do you go from school teacher to business and confidence teacher?
It's funny enough, it's to some people are like, well, this is a dramatic jump. But in all honesty, it really isn't. Being a coach is so much, it's so similar to being a teacher. When I was a teacher, I was a teacher on a very small island of about 4,000 people. And I was the only foreigner there. And I taught at all three of the schools, so everybody knew me. But I'd find myself that every day I'd have these girls, like these junior high school girls, that would have these confidence issues and they'd have these self-esteem issues, and they'd come to me in their little bit of English and ask me for my advice. So even before I was a confidence coach, I was still coaching students about their confidence. So after doing that for a while and having this realization, I was actually, funny enough, I was actually laid off of my job. They're like, you know what? We're going to not renew your contract. And I'm like, wait, what? Okay. So I was just like, my back was against the wall. And I was like, you know what? I need to do this. And I found this book called Believe Bigger. And it really helped me to change my perspective on how I was living. And I realized that I wanted to teach people, but I didn't want to teach them English. So I set out to get my certification. I went and I searched online and I found this academy called Transformation Academy. And I literally took 7 courses because I was determined. I didn't know what kind of coach I was going to be, but I was determined to be a coach. So I took like their goal setting certification, confidence certification, life purpose certification. I mean, everything I could find, I took that. And after doing that, I actually met this woman. And I was talking to this woman and I was saying, you know, I don't know what I want to be. And she says, you know, who would you be able to resonate with most? Like, whose story could you possibly like, you know what, I've been there and I've been through that now, so I can help you. And after talking with her, I realized, you know what, I could help people with their confidence. I could help people because I've understood what it's like to have no confidence and have gotten through the other side. So doing that, I eventually started, you know, I was blogging for a little bit and I eventually switched the focus of my blog to be a personal development blogger. And then I switched the focus to become a confidence blogger. And slowly but surely, I started talking to people and kind of giving them one-on-one coaching advice. And eventually I was like, let's just have a business. So I started my business and here I am right now.
Right. And that's kind of, that summarizes some pretty good actions that people could take. Let's say if they didn't know what they want or they have a vague idea, you know, they want to do some type of coaching or similar type business. I mean, what you did, you dove into a whole bunch of different types to kind of narrow down what the focus would be. And then B is, you know, a lot of reflection and coming up, you know, realizing what your story is and who you could connect with the most. That, you know, is something that kind of just an observation, just pulling out of it that if there's people out there, and I know there are, who want to do something like this or pull the plug on their 9-to-5, if you're not sure what to do, you sound like a great example of what people should do to kind of find that path. So that's really awesome. So you said you started out with a blog. Can you talk about, so you unfortunately got laid off from the teaching job. Can you talk about like those very first few steps? Did you just start a blog the next day? Kind of walk us through that process if you don't mind.
Okay, so before I got laid off, I had started a blog online. It was called My DD's Diary. And the point of the blog was me ranting about everything I hated about being Japan.
Yeah.
So it was just like teen angst, but like in young adult, in a young adult's body. So after that, after blogging about all the things I hated, I slowly started realizing that a blog could be so much more than just a ranting space. And I deleted all of those posts and started posting just like anything I wanted. I'm a multi-passionate person, so I can sew, I can act, I can do many different things. So my blog was like all of those things. I just posted anything I felt like, and I was like, yeah, this is good. When I got laid off, though, I realized that the things that I was blogging about, I wasn't really moved by them. I didn't feel like inspired and led. And when I got laid off and like I picked up the book Believe Bigger, I realized that if I want to start attracting people who I can help, then I need to start writing to them. Need to start giving them useful tips and tricks that will actually have them come to me and for us to be able to work together. So again, I deleted all of those posts. And I started again.
Did you at least save all of those? Do you have those like in some file hidden somewhere on your computer?
I do. I have them archived on my website. So I can see what other people can't. So they're all archived. So I actually just kept on shifting the focus. And I realized that the more I shifted is, and like you said, the more you thought about who you could resonate with, is the more focused my post became. So they started as a very broad topic and started getting narrower and narrower and narrower. And for some people who, like you said, might be struggling to figure out what they want to do, my best advice to them is just to do everything that interests you. And then after a while, you start realizing that there's one thing that really, really gets your heart racing and your blood flowing, and stick with that one thing. So once after you figured out what you want, then you can narrow down, but you don't need to narrow down initially. Don't confine yourself in some box, because you're going to feel really confined and constricted that you're not going to want to do anything.
Yeah. And that's a pattern, because obviously I speak to a lot of entrepreneurs and wannabe entrepreneurs. And the pattern is that nobody just starts and is right in their perfect niche and business the first time, right? Like the one thing we all have in common is we've tried 100 things. I've also started multiple blogs, multiple topics, multiple niches, and it takes time to figure it out if you're actually out there doing stuff. If you're just thinking about it the whole time, A, you're not going to get anything done, and B, you're not going to have that trial and error to figure out what you don't want to do. Which is also pretty important. So can you give me a timeline, Dana, of like how long it took you to kind of try all these different themes on the website for your blog out, and like from when you started until you kind of settled on a final, on what you're doing now? Because I want to give people some perspective, right? Because like for me, I've tried, you know, I've started different blogs and they would go on for months and then come to an end. And it really took like probably a year and a half to 2 years to kind of settle on what I'm doing now that really gets me passionate. Curious to know what your timeline was like.
It's actually about the same, because when I just started, I started a course called Blog to Biz Hive, and her suggestion was for 3 months, blog about everything, but give yourself only 3 months. And then after the 3 months, choose one topic that you love. So it took me 3 months to choose one, and then another 3 months, and then another 3 months. So they added up for about 2 years. So it took me, I can say like as of now, like 2 years to get to where I am now.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally relate to that, which might sound like kind of stupid to people who've never tried it, but it's harder than you think. And then, you know, you're kind of doubting yourself and stuff like that throughout, which is kind of a decent segue into confidence, because I don't know about you, but during that year and a half to 2 years, I wasn't very confident, right? Because you have, I mean, for me, I had my main gig, so to speak, which I still operate. But I was trying to find this kind of side hustle that really got me going. And when you're trying a whole bunch of different things and none of them are really sticking or working, you don't feel too great about it. You're like, I don't know about you, but I wasn't thinking, oh yeah, I'm working my way towards the right thing. My thinking was kind of like, why isn't any of this working? Why is everyone else able to do it quickly and it's taking me a while? So it's like such a direct link with confidence. So I'd love to hear kind of more about what you were going through as well.
Oh, wow. I can't tell you, the 2 years it started off as hell to me because I felt so behind everybody else. I felt like everybody else was just like a million miles ahead of me. And I was just compared. There's this one blogger that I loved. Her name is Elle. And I compared myself to her every single day. I was like, Elle started her blog yesterday and she's making $1 million and I'm making zilch. What am I doing wrong? And all these thoughts jumped into my head, and you know, negative thoughts, once you start on that, it just kind of spirals out of control. And I went through like bouts of, oh, like crying. I would cry sometimes. I was like, oh my gosh, like what am I doing? I'm wasting my time, because it's like, a blog is not cheap, first of all, to start, because you're paying for hosting, you're paying for a domain, you're paying for a theme, you're paying for all these different things. Plus, again, $5,000 already forked out to that coach dude. So I just felt super, like, I felt like a failure, really. And one of my deepest, darkest fears was that I would end up being a failure. So that just fed into how I was feeling. And I realized that as entrepreneurs, many of us, we judge ourselves so harshly because we believe that there's some specific timeline that we need to be following. And if we don't follow that timeline, then we will never make it. But what I realized is a year in is that, you know what? This is a journey. And my journey is different than your journey, and your journey is going to be different than somebody else's journey. And just because we're not on the same timeline does not mean that we won't reach the same destination, which is success. So once I got, like, it took me a year to get to that place. And even though I got to that place where I accepted my journey, there were still some days where I felt discouraged because I didn't think that it would pay off soon enough. I was like, hey, I only have this much money in my bank account. I need to start making something. And the days when you're seeing like no traffic to your website, you're seeing like no shares on your Facebook page, all those different things, I did feel discouraged. But every time I felt discouraged, I reminded myself that, hey, Dana, again, your journey is completely different. You do not need to compare yourself to anybody else but the previous version of yourself. So if you have gotten better than you were yesterday, celebrate that, move on. Progress over perfection is the best kind of mindset to have any day. And that mindset has gotten me to where I am now.
Right. Yeah. I think I read a quote or like an Instagram quote or whatever a few weeks ago talking exactly what you just said, right? You should not be comparing yourself to other people because there's always going to be more successful and less successful people than you. You should be comparing yourself to your former self. And looking ahead to your future self. So Dana, can you talk about what changed? So between then and now, what has kind of changed or when did things sort of kick in and take off, so to speak?
So things started changing when I moved from the island I was living in Okinawa to mainland last year. So when I was in Okinawa, I had to move because, again, contract is up and they're like, yeah, kick out of teaching housing. So I had to move. So when I moved to the mainland, which is where I live now in Japan, in Hyogo, I went through a period of adjusting to my new life. But it's funny enough, you see, when I moved to the mainland, all these ideas that I never had before popped into my head, like literally pop into my head, like, hey Dana, why don't you try this, and things really started to turn around when I joined Toastmasters, which is, I don't know if most people know what Toastmasters is. It's like an organization that kind of helps you to with your speaking career, helps to become a better leader, you know, more a better communicator, stuff like that. So I joined my local Toastmaster, and that's when everything started changing. I started meeting new people and all these, you know, really successful men and women, and they'd give me their advice. And I started really internalizing that advice and using it in my business. And once I started doing that, I met my business coach, which, funny enough, yes, most coaches have their own coach. So I met my own business coach, and she's really the one that's helped me to put things into like 10x, get me to understand like exactly what my niche is, exactly who I'm serving, what my coaching program should be about, like how long they should be, how to position myself. So meeting her last year is when everything really turned completely around, and business turned around, mindset shift, everything kind of happened last year. Kind of happened like almost all at once, to be honest.
Right. It's funny because I don't know if it's just kind of the 2020 vision, but a lot of people kind of feel that same way. But I don't think what we realize or appreciate is the buildup, right? Because if you didn't put all that time in trying all that the different blogs, the different type of content, the different niches, moving, signing up for Toastmasters, like you kind of look back and say like, oh, this is when things really changed. But I think it's, you know, what we don't do well as entrepreneurs is realize the work and the effort and the buildup that went into that. Because if you didn't do all of it before, that probably never would have happened, right? At least kind of when I look back at my story. So that's really great. Can we talk about, so I think confidence is so important in entrepreneurship. I don't think it's talked about enough, you know, mindset, confidence stuff. Can you talk a little bit about how or like common issues that you notice in terms of confidence among entrepreneurs, or common themes or anything like that?
Okay, sure. So most of my clients that come in, they have serious insecurities when it comes to vocalizing what it is that they do. Like the number one fear or insecurity that I see is that people don't want to tell other people about their business, which is crazy to me, because a big part of being an entrepreneur is telling other people about your business, what you do, who you serve, and what you want to do. But I realize that people are so afraid of what other people might think that they shut up. They don't want to go online. They don't want to show their faces. So because of that, they have this struggle to really tell people that, hey, you know, I have a soap business, for example. I want to sell luxurious soaps. But they don't want people to think that they're being salesy. They're afraid that people are going to think that they're being too much. They're afraid people are going to think that they're being weird. They're afraid that people won't like them. So because of that, they really shrink back. So that's like the top thing. The next thing I see, that people are terrified of failure. Like, they'd rather not try than to try and fail.
Right.
And one of the things that I've had to tell people is that, look, you see, who you are and what you do are two completely separate things. Like, what Dana Jackson does as a coach and who Dana Jackson is as a person is two separate things. So even though I might have failed many times in the past, I am not a failure. And I have to help people to understand that just because you failed once does not make you a failure. Because like you said before, failure is not the end all be all. Failure actually helps you to understand what's not working and what you don't want to do, so you can figure out what it is that you do need to do.
Right. And if you haven't failed as an entrepreneur, then I'd almost be a little concerned, because I don't think I've met one who hasn't had any failures.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. So Dana, what would you tell people who have those two key problems? So number one is not being confident in even talking about your business in general, and then two, fear of failure. Is there even like two or three tips you would give to those people to try and overcome that?
Definitely. So the first thing, when it comes to being insecure about talking about your business because you're afraid of what people think, picture this. Picture that you are, let's imagine. Imagine that you are at, you're in Times Square, and you're dressed in your best outfit, and you know, you are dressed in the nines. You have on a nice business suit, or you have on your best dress and heels and makeup and everything done. And people are all around you. They're taking pictures, and they're just enjoying the scene. But then you realize that you're at the center of it all and everybody is staring at you. So you've just now become super conscious of what it is that you're wearing, how your hair looks, how your suit looks, and everything like that. But what you don't realize is that other people are having the same exact thoughts as you are. They're thinking about what they're wearing, you know, people like them, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, all these different things. So I tell people that, look, you see, the same thoughts that you're having right now are the same thoughts that other people are having right now. And the fact that they're having those same thoughts means that they're not really thinking about ways to be mean to you. So instead of busying yourself thinking about what other people might be thinking about you, busy yourself with thoughts about what you think about you. What do you love about your business? What gets you up in the morning? Why do you want to do this? Think about those positive thoughts instead of thinking about what other people are thinking. Because if you can get past that, then your business will be good. So that's that. When it comes to fear of failure, I always ask people, what is the absolute, it sounds like a contradiction, but what is the absolute worst possible thing that could happen if you fail? And ask yourself that question, like, what is it? For me, I thought that if I failed, then I would get deported to Jamaica and I'd lose all of my money and I'd have to, you know, move in with my parents and we'd have to all be sharing this one bed and I'd be embarrassed and I'd lose, you know, lose face and I would have like a horrible reputation and all these different things. But then after you ask yourself, like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Like, is it really that horrible? Like, if the worst possible thing happens because you fail, is it really that horrible? Is there nothing that you can do to pick yourself up back after that? I mean, if you fail, you'll still have your intelligence, you'll still have your skills, you'll still have a reason to want to try. So even if you fail, and even if something horrible happens, you can still pick yourself back up and get back to where you need to be. So when you think about it, your fear of failure really isn't that scary after all, because you understand that you still have the power at the end of the day to turn things around. And once you look at fear like that, the fear of failure like that, it really shifts just how much power that fear has over you.
Right. Yeah, those are some great tips. I just reread Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss, which is a pretty cool read for anyone who hasn't read it. And he has an activity in there called fear setting. So instead of goal setting, fears, you know, you're writing down your biggest fears. And it's so right that what you said about it, it just puts things in perspective, right? You're so afraid of the worst and, oh, my life's going to end, blah, blah, blah. But when you write it down or when you think about it, like, oh, worst case, let's say you have to move back in with your parents or whatever. It's really not the end of the world, especially when you compare it to some other people and some problems they might be having. So really good exercise and really good suggestion. Dana, do you have any confidence tips? This is a selfish question. Usually I like to plug one or two selfish questions in, but I hope they help other people too. So as an entrepreneur who works primarily alone and doesn't get too much, so most of my business is online, through email, stuff like that. Do you have any tips for entrepreneurs who work mostly alone? Because what I've found is that even when you're doing really well, having good months or whatever, it's you often don't realize it as an entrepreneur. Like my head's so stuck in the day-to-day that, you know, you might forget about your quote-unquote success or you're lacking that human interaction. And that can kind of affect confidence and like daily mood. Do you have any tips for people who work mostly alone, how they could help through those rough patches?
Oh, yeah. I have a few tips, actually. So the first one is that even though you work alone at home, it doesn't mean you have to work alone at home all the time. If you have a Starbucks, you could probably pack up your laptop and go to Starbucks and go like have a few hours there where you work. And when you go to Starbucks, more than likely there is some people around. So you could probably strike up a conversation with somebody else who just might be another solopreneur. So spend a few hours outside of your house. And even if it means going to the park and doing work there, going to the library, doing work there, or going to Starbucks and doing work there, just spend right. some time outside of your house. Because if we spend too much time alone, the walls will start closing in and you'll start to hear voices, and we do not want you to lose your mind. So get some fresh air. Go outside. That's the first thing. If you are, if it's impossible for you to go outside because you live in like the wilderness or up in the woods or in Siberia.
Or in Canada where it's freezing.
Or in Canada where it's basically Siberia. You can find online meetup groups. So I have, in Japan, I don't really have a lot of English speaking friends around me. And sometimes I forget my English because I'm always speaking Japanese. So right. I found that finding online groups of people who actually are in similar situations really does help you. So for me, I found online groups such as Black Women in Japan. And I spent all of my time in there talking to other women in that group. And it really helps me to not feel so alone, because I understand that I'm not actually alone. There are many other women in Japan who are going through the same issues that I'm facing. And it really helps to build that bond with somebody else. So even though you don't have physical human contact, you're still talking to another person.
Right.
So there's that, find some online community that you can talk to. Like Facebook has like a million and one. Just find mm-hmm. one or two. You don't need to like overwhelm yourself and join 50. Trust me, I did it. Did not work. Yeah. Find one or two and do that. And also, when you do have a mini success, make a big ass deal about it. I mean, go and if it is that you want, you need to like put on some clothes because you're in your jammies all day, put on some clothes, go outside and buy an ice cream cone. Like, do something to celebrate your success outside of your house. Or even if you want to right. like stay in, buy a candle, buy a scented candle. Yes, guys, scented candles are amazing. Buy a scented candle and burn it in your office and just enjoy the nice smell. Just do something. It doesn't have to be something big, but just do something. Like, put on your calendar, like, celebration day. And every time you hit a milestone before that day, do something. Like I said, do buy some ice cream, get some takeout, do a DIY mask, like get a pedicure, get a manicure, like do something that makes right. you feel good and reminds you that, hey, I am this much better than I was yesterday. Like right. do these small things, like going to Starbucks, you know, finding an online community and doing these small celebrations with yourself actually does help. And if you are desperate for human contact, invite your friends over. Like, your friends might not understand why you're celebrating, but who cares? Invite yeah. them anyway. Just invite them over for like a potluck, invite them for like a game night with cards, a movie night on Netflix, and listen to me chat about my success night until my ears fall off. Like, just find some excuse to invite them over and just enjoy their presence, even if it's once a week, twice a week. Just find some time to invite somebody over.
Yeah, I really like that last answer. It's something I don't do well enough, so I'll definitely implement that, because that's something you just kind of forget or don't even think to do, right? You're just like, oh yeah, this went well, okay, back to work. And by not recognizing it, you're really doing yourself a disservice, right? Because then what are you ultimately working for?
Absolutely.
At the end of the day. In terms of the first suggestion, so I really like the Starbucks suggestion. Another quick tip is I actually work in out of a co-working space. Coincidentally, yeah, the one I'm working out of right now is actually empty. Just, it's kind of a weird scenario, but it's empty, which is almost a bad thing because I wouldn't mind some other moving bodies around. But if you do have like an affordable, or you can afford, an office space, or co-working spaces, I've found have been very good. And I'm going to shamelessly plug the Solopreneur Grind Facebook group, because I've started to build it up now just for myself and for other people who just want people who are in the same situation that you can, you know, contact, get in touch with once in a while, ask for advice. So just look up Solopreneur Grind on Facebook if you want to join a small community of us like-minded people. That's really great, Dana. Just to kind of wrap up here, do you have two or three tips for someone who is in your shoes a few years ago, kind of feeling lost. Maybe they're in a 9-to-5, they're not happy, and they know they want to do something more. They have no idea what it is yet. What would the two or three things be that you would tell them?
Okay, so for me, 2 years ago, the first thing, the best thing I wish I had done was find a mentor. Find a mentor or a coach, somebody who is where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And having that person who is where you want to be kind of prevents you from having to go through all the different, you know, bouts of confusion and fear and distress and depression that comes with trying to figure everything out on your own. So many of us just want to do things by ourselves, but the one thing is that you don't have to do everything alone. And that's right. What I'm here to my clients, to tell them that I am here to guide you so you don't have to do it all alone. So that's the first thing. Find a mentor, find somebody who is, like I said, where you want to be. Secondly is, don't pressure yourself to figure everything out so quickly. Like, take your time. There, you might feel like there is like a specific time that success must be met by, but that's not true. Take your own time. Everybody's journey is different. Don't rush yourself. Don't pressure yourself. Take your time to figure out what you want to do. And if that means taking you 10 years, that's fine. There are many, many overnight successes that were 10 years in the making.
Right.
So find a mentor, take your time, and lastly, believe in yourself. I cannot say this enough. I tell my clients all the time, if you do not believe in yourself, you will not succeed. And I don't care what anybody else says. I will go to a limb and say, if you don't believe that you will succeed, you will fail, and you will fail hard. You have to believe that you can do this. You have to believe that you have what it takes to succeed. You have to believe that you have what it takes to get up every morning and push through those setbacks and step on those stepping stones and move forward. You have to believe that even when you don't see clients coming in, even when you see like $0 in your bank account, that you can still do it. You have to believe that even if you feel like you are a failure, that you are actually this much closer to success. Because if you don't believe in yourself again, you have failed before you even started.
Right. Yeah, those are some great tips. Awesome, Dana. This has been really great, really insightful. Where can people find you if they want to hear some more?
So thank you for asking me. You can find me on Facebook at, you know, facebook.com/DanaJacksonOfficial. You can find me there. Also, please join my brand new group, you know, Unbreakable Confidence and Business Success. In that group, I give you tips and tricks every single day to help you to build the unshakable confidence that you need to be bolder in your business and to attract your dream clients and to actually fast track your business success. So my Facebook group is Unbreakable Confidence and Business Success. And you can find me also at https://dana.com. On there, you can work with me, set up your one-on-ones with me. And I'm also going to plug in shamelessly my new group program that I'm launching called Fierce and Fabulous. It is a new 90-day program that will help you to overcome your insecurities, overcome your fears, your doubts, build the confidence you need to go and set and slay every single business goal you have every time.
Awesome. And we will provide links to those in the description so that we don't have to, you know, you don't have to pause and go back and find the spelling. But Dana, really appreciate you coming on the show and looking forward to seeing how things go in the future.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Thank you for having me. I know sometimes I get super passionate and talk really quickly, but I hope everybody understood what I said. And if you have any questions or anything at all, I'm always available to jump on a call and let's discuss how we can work together and really up-level your confidence and your business.
Awesome. The passionate guests are the best ones. Thanks again, Dana.
Thank you so much.
Hey everyone, Josh checking in just one more time. Wanted to say thanks a lot for listening to the episode. Hope you got a lot of value out of it. And I wanted to see if you're interested in joining my email list. The link will be in the description. of whatever podcast platform you're listening to this episode on, whether it be iTunes or Google Play or whatever. And what I do is I send out 3 emails a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually in the morning. And they're pretty short, usually around 300-400 words. And what I'm doing is sharing some extra thoughts, insights, ideas, struggles, lessons I've learned, because I am running my own service business too, and I love to share my thoughts, opinions, and just want to add some more value right to your inbox every week. So if you're interested, take a look at the sign up link in the podcast description on whatever you're listening this to on, and I hope to see you there, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Take care.